hope you'll listen to this quote closely. There's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only God, the Creator, made known through Jesus. There's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only God, the Creator, made known through Jesus. These are the words of a genius, a man named Blaise Pascal, a 17th century young French genius whose concepts of logic and mathematics contributed to the work of a man named George Boole, who was the creator of Boolean algebra. And Boolean algebra became the mathematical language for modern computer programming. That's why anyone who was programming computers in the 1980s was familiar with a programming language called Pascal. Blaise Pascal also developed one of the very first computational machines. His father was a tax collector, and he wanted to help his father with the large sums that he had to work with. That machine became the groundwork for the first calculators. But Blaise Pascal was also a Christian mystic and a philosopher. And that quote that I shared with you has been shortened into something that I know you've heard before. The shorter quote is simply that within every person, there's a God-shaped hole. There's a God-shaped hole that can only be filled by God. When I was a young man, this quote from Pascal, It opened my imagination and my mind, because it reminded me of someone that I was reading in school, another genius, but a genius who became a saint, Thomas Aquinas. And Thomas Aquinas wrote some things about solitude, about being alone, and about isolation, about how solitude is actually a fiction created by human beings, so that in the imagination of our imaginations, sometimes we pretend that we are alone, that we're unseen by God, as though there is some place in this world where we might retreat from God, especially in the imagination of our imaginations, as though the existence of God were open to our opinion. Because we have an opinion that maybe God doesn't exist, or we might think that God is not present, that actually this is only an imagination of our imagination. In fact, if we read Scripture, there are others who've wanted to hide from God. Think about Adam and Eve, Jonah, Elijah. But the truth of Scripture, the truth of Jesus, is that actually there's no hiding place from God. Perhaps even within ourselves, there's no hiding place from God. No matter how many blankets of imagination we pull over ourselves. As Blaise Pascal is pointing out, whether we hide in the bushes like Adam and Eve, or hide on a boat, or in the belly of a whale like Jonah, or even if we hide deep within ourselves, there's a God-shaped vacuum, God-shaped hole within every human being. And the longer I live, I've begun to believe there's a God-shaped hole even within the universe. The fact that there is no hiding place for God, for some of us, often for me, whether within ourselves or outside ourselves, the fact that there's no place to hide can become a burden. It can create a sense of anxiety or fear, that feeling of, oh no, There's nobody in the kitchen, but when I put my hand in the cookie jar, maybe someone is there to see it. There can be anxiety because sometimes we want to hide the evidence of our lesser nature, the evidence perhaps of our wrongdoing, the evidence of our anger and our grudges, sometimes the evidence of our apathy. Or sometimes I like to try to camouflage myself from God, paper it over with a lot of hyperactivity, with some need to prove or make a proof that my life has some goodness. Maybe if I do enough good things, anyone that wears a collar and a stole has been on those errands of self-justifying activism. But there's always the underbelly of anxiety that the enough of my life is out there. If I could just do more, there's always that feeling of anxiety that if I could just do more, manage more, if I could just worry more, if I could just worry more, if I could worry enough, I might secure my own peace. If I could worry enough, I might find that, I might fill that God-shaped hole. You know, God, can't you see me from the skybox, Lord? I'm out here on your field. Don't you see all the good I'm doing out here? But as I grow older, I find that it is a gift. I find that it is a gift that the world, and that I cannot hide from God. It's a gift to know that God is more in this world than I am in this world. It's a gift to know that God is often more in my midst than I am in my own midst at times. There's a God-shaped hole. The longer I live, I believe there's a God-shaped hole written in the fabric of time and space. It will only be mended and filled by God's love. It's the truth of Christmas. It's what we sing about. Emmanuel. God is with us. And that actually is the greatest of all the treasures. It's not something to run away from. It's not something to worry about. It's something to run toward. It reminds me of a story told by American soldiers who liberated the Jewish ghetto in Warsaw in Poland. And before the Allies broke through to liberate Warsaw, there were young Jewish children who had escaped and were hiding. And there was a young girl who had escaped and was hiding in a cave. Unfortunately, she died very shortly after the city was liberated. But before she died, there alone in that cave, she reached up and she scratched something on the stones of the walls of that cave. And this is what she scratched into that wall. I believe in the sun, even though it's not shining. I believe in love, even when feeling it or not. And I believe in God, even when He is silent. You see, whether we're great Christian thinkers like Blaise Pascal, or intellectual saints like Thomas Aquinas, or whether we're like a little girl escaping tyrants, girl escaping violence and danger. All of us live in a world that's haunted by God. We're all living in a world waiting for a hole to be filled. And we're all inhabiting someone else's house. We are God's guest rather than the other way around. And Jesus is trying to show us that it is God's good pleasure that we discover that we are a guest in his house. It brings his heart joy. When we discover that we are the guest, that this is God's world and we are the visitors. I believe the deepest message of Scripture is very much what we see happening in the life of this crippled woman. She's going about her business. She's going about the business of surviving. And she survives as someone with an affliction. She survives as someone whose life is broken. And she's going about her holy duties. She's worshiping God and having that conversation with God that is hers to have in the synagogue. She is minding her own business, and she's minding God's own business. When through no fault of her own, she walks beneath the gaze of God's only Son. And then everything in her life suddenly changes. She was simply minding her business, going unnoticed. Perhaps even she might be hiding in the midst of her circumstances when all of a sudden she steps into the God-shaped vacuum. And she becomes exhibit A of how Jesus is going to teach overly scrupulous, overly religious, righteous ones that God is more interested in human beings than punishing relationships to religious obligations. You know, Jesus could have healed her on any other day. I believe Jesus was gently making a point. Jesus was making a point that the Sabbath, that a day like today, is meant to serve God's children in such a way as to help alleviate their suffering and help alleviate the suffering of the world. To me, Jesus makes a gentle point that God is always pushing people and not paper. Always pushing people and not paper. I believe this is how we can see God at work in our lives. Perhaps you've been hiding. Perhaps in that place where you've been hiding. Perhaps in that place where we've been minding the business of our broken wings, minding the business of broken hearts, broken lives. Suddenly that is where God may appear. Emmanuel, God is with us. Suddenly in that place of hiding, we might become exhibit A of how God is healing a world that is broken. We might find ourselves stumbling into that God-shaped vacuum. And the beautiful thing, the mysterious and mystical and beautiful truth of God's love, that as we stumble into the God-shaped vacuum, find our lives transformed through the mystery of God's grace, others may find themselves stepping into that God-shaped vacuum with us. Our healing is not to be our possession. Our healing is meant to be our gift to others whose lives are broken, whose lives have been not surprised by joy, but surprised by catastrophe. All we have to do is watch the news. Sometimes that is news from places like El Paso, from Ohio. News from places where there are international borders, where people need to step into the God-shaped vacuum of God's love. You see, this woman, she was simply minding her own business. And she is surprised by a joy that changes her life forever. And we tell her story today so that it might change and transform our lives and so that it might change and transform the lives of those whom we meet. You see, in the moments where we hide and we want to pretend that God lives according to our opinions, maybe we take a journey in the imagination of the imagination of our hearts. Jesus is saying there's a much larger arc and trajectory of compassion. That God will remember the small and the forgotten persons, even when that person is us. That there is a word from the ancient stories of God's conversation with his children, whether he's talking to them from the sky with Abraham, whether he's speaking to them in the belly of a whale like Jonah, whether he's calling them out from their shame where they hide in the bushes. The word is that there's a God-shaped hole in this universe that will be filled with mercy. There is a God-shaped hole that will be filled with love. There is a God-shaped hole that will be filled with healing, and it will happen when you least expect it, and most especially when you are not demanding it. That is when I will surprise you with joy. Just like this crippled woman in the synagogue. Perhaps you've come here today and you feel small. Perhaps you've come here today hiding in the imagination of imagination. Perhaps there's a very, very sophisticated and calculated camouflage to which you are contributing your energies, believing that you're hiding. Or maybe you're simply here like the little girl in the cave. The world is full of tyrants. The world is full of violence. And perhaps there's fear all around. She simply writes on the walls of that cave what has been written in the Bible. I believe in the sun, even though it's not shining. And I believe in love, even when feeling it or not. And I believe in God, even when he is silent.